This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. The issue of human trafficking in the Milwaukee area has attracted national and even international attention. We spoke a few months ago with a reporter who reported on the underground trafficking economy in Milwaukee for the Guardian newspaper. More recently, we talked with a Milwaukee Magazine reporter about the difficulty in getting hard data to quantify the problem.
Recently, the online Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service tried to take on both issues and add some very personal stories of trafficking's costs here. Reporter Allison Dekanovich wrote and produced the in-depth feature, and she's with us in the studio now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we've done interviews on human trafficking in Milwaukee in the past on this show, and one of the themes that tends to come out of them is that it is a real problem here, but data is often hard to come by. Was that something you encountered as well?
Yeah, absolutely. The data indicating the specific numbers of people involved in kind of every aspect of the problem is really hard to come by. And that's not an issue that's unique to Milwaukee. You can find that in any city across the country, that kind of data is hard to find because it is such an underground market. It's an underground crime. But I feel like that's kind of put up a lot of barriers to doing more comprehensive reporting on it in the past. And though I didn't have certain concrete numbers, I still wanted to have a data-driven story and to kind of look more into those issues and not be stopped by the roadblock of that lack of data.
Well, and so if it is such an underground crime, what is the kind of data that does exist? What are we able to quantify?
Yeah, absolutely. So when looking at the scope of the problem, kind of two numbers, one, the size of the industry, because there is data on that as far as the size of the economies created in this market. So some data that I found by the Urban Institute showed that in individual cities, they measured eight different cities, and it ranged from $39 million to $290 million. So there was a huge range, but kind of even looking at
that dollar figure,
the
represents
lower end of that represents the amount of revenue from the commercial sex trade.
Okay.
So from purchasing individuals for sex or sex services in any,
sure,
in any capacity. Yeah, so even the lower end of that $39 million is still a huge number. And so that kind of shows, though we can't, say, get a number of the people purchasing these kinds of services, if it's fueling a $39 million industry, that's a significant number of people. Another number, some numbers that we looked at were the number of youth specifically who are at risk of being trafficked, because there are certain populations that we can look at that are a lot higher risk of being trafficked. And so one of those are youth who have experienced sexual abuse in the past. Another one are youth who have experienced homelessness or any kind of transiency, runaway youth, any kind of vulnerable populations like that we can look at and kind of gauge that situation. So we gauged between 5,000 and 6,000 children in the city of Milwaukee who would be considered at risk of being trafficked. So that's a big number as well. Some other data that we looked at were the number of arrests made. And like we indicated in the story, we are told by pretty much across the board that those are kind of, for lack of a better phrase, the tip of the iceberg, that doesn't give a full indication of the scope of the problem, but it does give a starting point. So in 2015, 344 people were arrested for soliciting a prostitute. And that has decreased over the years.
And that number seemed fairly staggeringly low. What did you find out about why arrests and prosecution of Johns, these are the people who solicit the prostitutes, is so relatively low?
Yeah, so that was kind of what drove one of the focuses of the stories, was this focus on the Johns, is that they are a relatively neglected population in this conversation of trafficking. And so there has been a lot of efforts to decrease the presence of prostitution in the city of Milwaukee and to kind of deter that kind of activity. So because of that, there has been a decrease in the amount of street prostitution. And so there has been a kind of a decrease in the visibility of this crime. So a lot of the people who are purchasing this are purchasing it through different means and are kind of finding new avenues to do so, whether that be through the internet. The internet has really changed the landscape of the sex trade in a lot of ways.
And that makes it harder to prosecute them?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the stings that happen now, the different sting operations that are focused on arresting the Johns in the city of Milwaukee, they're all street operations. So if less and less of the crime is happening visibly on the street, there will be less and less opportunities to arrest the people who are soliciting.
Is the thinking that the upshot of that low prosecution rate has allowed this other version of it, the internet version, to thrive?
Yeah. So the upshot of the low prosecution rates is just kind of showing that, yes, it's really important to focus on these girls who are being trafficked. And I get why that's the natural priority. But it's just showing that there is this demand that's fueling the sex trade, that there are people that want these services, that are purchasing sex from underage girls or boys, and that is really fueling it, that the sex trade works like any other market. And if there weren't people buying in, creating this demand, that there wouldn't be this whole underground industry. This is a crime that's constantly, kind of what I've learned is it's constantly changing. The traffickers are changing their tactics. People who are soliciting are changing their tactics. So it's changing rapidly and constantly. So it's a lot more difficult for the police to kind of keep up with these different trends. And also the police department, their focus, especially the human trafficking unit, their focus is on the rescuing the victims, so especially the juveniles, and focusing on rescuing them and providing resources for them. And since that is such a huge issue, they found that they're putting a lot more of their focus and resource on that they just don't have the time, capacity, or the resources to put more of an emphasis on prosecuting the Johns.
Right. Those are the I think you call them demand-focused approaches that other cities have tried.
Yeah, yeah. So Milwaukee is looking a little bit at the demand, but we don't have these kind of explicitly demand-focused operations going on to the extent that other cities do, primarily because the police department unit that is working on human trafficking is focusing so much and doing really great work to rescue the girls.
Do you get the sense that is law enforcement frustrated by their inability to get to the demand side of this?
Yeah, yeah, I do get that. I think everyone I talk to says, like, that's the reason that I wrote about this, was that everyone that I spoke with, whether it be advocates or law enforcement, said that there's this huge kind of elephant in the room, this demand that just hasn't been able to be addressed because of resourcing issues, and just that the problem is so big that they're focused on the girls, but there's this whole other element that is really perpetuating it. There's kind of the immediate response of working with the victims, but then the systemic, big picture, long-term response of addressing the demand that's perpetuating the cycle.
You also reported on how the community and other cities have responded. But in Milwaukee specifically, it seems that there are a lot of agencies and organizations that exist to help victims in particular. Can you talk about some of those approaches that they're taking?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different agencies that are working with victims, and that has come to more of a prevalence in the past few years. Agencies are really responding. So there are there's the Human Trafficking Task Force that's kind of coordinating a lot of these efforts, where a lot of these different agencies can get around the same table and talk about the services they're providing. One new organization is called the Grateful Girls Safe Haven, and that's a housing facility. It's the second housing facility in the state for girls transitioning out of trafficking, and it's the first one in Milwaukee that is providing a place for girls who are transitioning out of this lifestyle to live and receive different kinds of support. It's the only one of its kind in the city, and there's a lot of agencies and people who are working with girls who have experienced the sex trade are saying that we need a lot more housing resources. So that's one. Another organization is called the Inner Beauty Center. They're providing outreach services, so they'll actually go out on the street and provide different resources to women who are working in the sex trade. And then there are different advocacy groups. So one is Exploit No More. They're currently raising capital to open a housing facility that will be kind of comprehensive, like Grateful Girls, that will provide different services for girls. So there's a lot out there. And then different agencies like La Causa or different agencies that provide a lot of different services do have programs that are specifically focused on people who are exiting the sex trade. Also, the Benedict Center.
And you say
a big one.
And you say the Human Trafficking Task Force has really played a coordinating role in this.
Yeah, yeah. So this started several years ago, and every month they'll have a meeting that all these different organizations, anyone is welcome to the table, different organizations, government agencies as well, that are working on this problem, kind of coordinate what they're doing with each other to try to better support the efforts that each of them are making.
You've been working on this story for a long time. Are there still open questions for you even after, what, 3 months worth of reporting the story?
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of just came to the point that I needed to produce a story, but my editor made fun of me because I just kept wanting to. I was like, there's more people I want to talk to. There's more I want to figure out. It's definitely been one of those issues that the more I learn about it, the more complex it becomes and the more information I want to know. There's not a ton of research, but I think the online aspect of trafficking is really fascinating. Another concept that I touched on slightly in the part about the services providing to the victims is the concept of survival sex, and that's young people who are kind of having these informal sexual exchanges that is considered trafficking because they are juveniles, but they're really selling themselves for services or for provision like shelter or food or different things to just get by. And that I've heard is very common in Milwaukee, and that kind of breaks from the stereotypical narrative of what trafficking looks like, but it is a big problem in our city, so that's something I would love to look further into. A component that I didn't touch on in the story was that of the trafficker, just because I feel like that is an issue that has been prosecuted, not to the extent to stop the problem, but has been focused on more than the Johns. But that is another component that I would love to look at.
Well, we would love to have you back in the studio to talk more about it as your reporting allows. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Allison Dukanovich is a reporter with the online Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service. You'll find her feature on human trafficking. Plus, you can see video interviews with a trafficking survivor from links at wuwm.com.